Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vibhuvana kamanam tamalmavanam ravikara goravara ambaram dadane papuralaka kulavartana papuralaka kulavrita nunabjam vijaya shoke vata astume navajya. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. Just excuse me for 1 second. I have to get something. I'll be right back. Hare Krishna, I'm back. Just needed to get some water. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksuran Lulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Vipashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadevo Aptabrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Bhakti Center. I'll give class today at 11, and then tomorrow I'll move to Colombia. I'll let you know, I'm going to try to have classes, although next Sunday is our big festival, but I still will be able to give this a good class in the morning. And just wonderful watching the Bhakti Center grow. Just like the old days, when I first came to the temple, there's so many things, so many devotees and so many activities. One of the activities is they really have a good drama group. And, it's really together. All are, in one sense, trained in theater in one way or another. They get along, they cooperate, and they meet twice a week. They meet twice a week, and they did some comedy, and I spoke on that. I guess they added me thinking maybe some more people will come, but we did in Yoga Maya, and the people there, I'm not talking about the devotees, they told me they were absolutely amazed how professional. I mean, it was as good as any, better than most comedy routines you could see. It was so professionally done, and we named it The Last Laugh, Comedy to Open the Mind, and it was amazing. It was really, really good. And And they even had one thing with Groucho Marx, which was just amazing. Remember, he was a doctor and he was checking it was kind of had a spiritual meaning, but he was checking the heart of the patient and, you know, saw 25 episodes of The Bachelorette. I mean, but it's a real profound point, what's actually in our hearts. And afterwards I spoke a little bit about comedy, and I was I started to study a little bit. I looked around and studied, and actually most major philosophers discussed, from Kant to Schopenhauer, what actually makes something funny and what's the purpose of humor. And I more ascribed to the definition of Groucho Marx, who said, comedy is reason gone mad. It's such a good definition, reason gone mad, for the purpose of encouraging reason. Laughter discourages. And what's madness? Madness is when you don't act according to reason. What do you act according? You act according to your conditioning. And basically, that is foolish, and that is humorous. You know, that's why when people do, impersonations, it's hilarious. Because impersonations are not by reason, they're by conditioning. And I kind of find that humor is actually, one purpose of humor is definitely spiritual. It's to discourage conditioning. It's to promote reason by exposing reason gone mad. So anyway, it was just nice to discuss that. So now we're in the bog with Tom, and I think most of the group has been with us for a while. And the essence of the bog with Tom is love. And love requires an object of love and a subject of love. And we have the object of love in terms of Krishna. And we have the subject of love in relation in terms of his devotees. And you see how beautiful it is. So, and the Bhagavatam is about Krishna. And the first canto is about the Bhagavatam. Therefore, it's about Krishna. And when the section, technically, Lamarge Cricket is being described, but because Krishna appeared at his birth at the end of the, appeared in the womb, to protect him in the womb at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, we're brought right there. And we just saw the relationship with Kunti, Vipata, Shanti, Tashashvat, Tatta, Tatra, Jagatguru, let these calamities happen again and again. And now we're seeing Bhishma Day, and where one of the things the Bhagavatam does too, from another perspective, is glorify those people who have love, and what is their character, and what is their depth, and what is their understanding. So we see Bhishma Day's transcendental nature. He's on the battle of Kurukshetra. He's on the battlefield. On a bed of arrows, not a very pleasant situation. And he's able to express the highest philosophy, both transcendental and material. And there's really no difference, because material knowledge really is just the understanding of something's relationship to God. And to achieve God and to attain God, even if it's military science, how do you do it? Why do you do it? Because it's required in a society. Why is it required in a society? Because people need to be engaged according to their nature. And there's a need in people to be in society, which is dog eat dog, for kshatriya, one who protects others from hurt. So material knowledge in that respect is also spiritual. It's connected. And so we see, and now Bhishma Dev, as he's talking to Yudhisthira, he begins to glorify Krishna. Because when you're not speaking any practical subjects, which he just has, explaining the duties of a Kshatriya to Yudhisthira, then he's explaining direct spiritual subjects, the glories of Krishna. And now he's explaining his desire. You know, death is such a important subject. You know, we're reading in the Upadeshamrita, the essence of all advice. Tanama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu. That Tanama Rupa Charita, so to do kirtan of the name, and you should remember, you know, a beloved associate of the Lord. This is the essence of all advice. To chant Krishna's name with a focus, with attention, with absorption, because it is the name of your beloved Lord. And your love for the beloved Lord increases your absorption and attraction to chant the name of your beloved Lord. So death, and therefore Prabhupada in that is discussing the importance of the mind and controlling the mind. And especially if Prabhupada mentions at the time of death, because your bhava, your mood at the time of death, that is the nature you will go. The face is the index of the mind. The gross body is a product of the subtle body. That's where you'll go. And therefore, Bhishma Dev at that junction wants to be fixed. And he wants to be fixed on his relationship with God. Love of God is the goal, but love means relationship. And eventually, by practicing Krishna consciousness, a particular ambition to serve God in a particular way should awaken in our hearts. And those who are perfected, they have that understanding. In fact, that's what initiation ultimately means, that you're connected. Sambandha Vishesh Gyan, Bhagavat Sarup Gyan, that with that connection to the Parampara comes the seed of the form of God whom you have a relationship with, and the nature, the specific nature of that relationship. So as you practice and proceed in Krishna consciousness under the right association, some attraction will come. Initially, for a particular form of God, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Sri Krishna Chandra, Rajendra Nandana Krishna, that will come. And gradually, a relationship. A relationship. And that's what he wants to meditate on. Because that's the destination one will go. Narottam Das Thakur says, what you meditate in this life, you will attain in the future. What you meditate on now, you will attain in the future. Like a green mango and a ripe mango. So what you meditate on now, it will mature into its fullest, like a green mango. The qualities of the mango have not yet arisen, yet they are there. So in the same sense, we're meditating on Krishna. We should meditate on Krishna. We should aspire relationship with Krishna. But it may not yet be fully manifest, but by doing that, it will. there's this concept also mentioned in the Upadeshamrita, and the concept is that we can't experience an object, or we don't experience an object fully due to our consciousness and the coverings of our consciousness. Just as the sweetness of sugarcane can't be experienced by someone who has jaundice, it's not that it's not sweet, it's just that one has covered his ability to taste it. So gradually, as one becomes cured of the disease, one is able to experience the full object, the full manifestation of the object one is tasting. So here, he's expressing what he wants to see. Glittering yellow dress and lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp. I want that to be the object of my attraction. May I not desire fruitive results? May I not want to be the enjoyer and the controller? Because if you are in that consciousness, you will be blinded to the absolute truth. We cannot force the absolute truth to come under our domination and control. We can only attract the absolute truth to come to us. The absolute truth will not manifest to us to be exploited and controlled, because that's not what the absolute truth is. But the absolute truth will come to us to be served. So unless you develop that type of consciousness, there's no question of seeing or experiencing the absolute truth. Just as the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinathacharya, criticized Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya when he introduced him to Lord Chaitanya, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an impersonalist. He said, even though the Supreme Lord is standing right before you, you cannot see him because you think of yourself as a separate and independent God. Same thing with the 10th canto, the pastimes of Krishna. We can't see them with if we're covered by ignorance or we're covered by attachment. And that affects your perception of any person. Your lack of understanding of that person and your lack of love for that person. It will affect any relationship you have, what to speak of God. If you have nine cantos of Bhagavad Gita, and then you can see it for what it is, the highest form of love. So now we'll read the purport. When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on the earth, he does so by the agency of the internal potency, which of course is an important point. That's called sambandha gyan. People that appear here by the force, are forced to appear here by the material energy. They're forced. You're forced. You're under control. You don't have your will. As much as a drunk that goes in his the bar, he's not under his own volition. When we come to this world, it's like a prison. We don't come here under our own volition. So again, when God comes here, it's saying he comes by his internal potency. It comes by his will alone. And God only moves by love. He comes by his own will, not by the external potency. And although every other person that appears here comes by the external potency, God's appearance here is different. Many, many births, both you and I have passed, Arjuna, you know. I can remember them all, but you cannot. Ajoti, son of Yatma, Bhutanam Ishvaro Pitan, Prakritim Swam Adishtaya, Sambhavam Yakmamaya. I come by my own potency. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never perishes. I believe Brahmananda, I once heard him say that he asked Prabhupada what is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, so many are said. And then Prabhupada said, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoga pita pitaha. Chakpadeham punajanma naiti. Like, if you know this, you won't take birth. Because if you don't know who Krishna is, you certainly won't worship him. You certainly won't respect him. But if you know that his birth and activities are transcendental because he is God, and therefore he is the being who is not under the laws of material nature because he is the origin and controller of those laws. That's why you can't understand God simply by logic. Because logic means cause and effect. How things move under the laws of material nature can be predicted. You drop something, it falls. So if you have something, you open your hand, then you assume it'll fall. Because it's under certain laws that adjudicate existence in a consistent, repetitive way. Therefore, God walks and he doesn't walk. He's near and he's far. And he's not subject to time. We so much experience time as absolute. We cannot even conceive that time is not absolute. We can't conceive it, but time is not absolute. From the transcendental realm, are we in the past, present, or future? Or is the transcendental realm move along those lines? Can God have access to all aspects of time? Technically, yes. The attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of the Lord. So, the absolute truth, reality is beautiful. He's the source of all beauty. And because he loves, he wants to please, therefore he is most attractive. And therefore the most desired thing. And that's the goal, to have a relationship with the most beautiful person. The most pleasing person. We can perfectly reciprocate our love. That is the objective or goal. And therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything materially created. Arjuna is described here as the conqueror. And Krishna is described as his intimate friend. Bhishma is on his bed of arrows after the battlefield of Kurukshetra and is remembering the particular dress of the Lord which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly he admired his so-called enemy, Arjuna, for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishma Dev takes the opportunity to address the Lord as Vijaya Shake, friend of Arjuna, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees who are related to him in different transcendental humors. So God appreciates when he's glorified, and he most appreciates when he's glorified for the, how do I put it? He's glorified for the greatest glory of himself, which is his person. And his person comes out in relationships. You can only manifest yourself fully in relationship. So the full manifestation of God and the most beautiful aspect of God and the most glorious aspect of God is only manifest in relationship. And therefore he likes to be addressed in relationship. Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Krishna Balaram, Sita Ram Hanuman Lakshman, Lakshmi Narayan. While fighting was going on, while Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishma Dev. His love for Krishna, his attraction for Krishna. Krishna is Krishna. He is all attractive. And he draws out the most extreme desire to serve from our heart when we are in contact with him. That's why the chanting of japa is so important, to still our minds and to deeply concentrate and to hear the holy name. It's so important because it he's Krishna, and he will draw out of our hearts the spark of love that is within us. It will blossom our full nature of service into full bloom love. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in the chivalrous humor. So there's different relationships. Sometimes we like someone, you know, you can see a military person, he appreciates, a real military person, he appreciates someone in their valor. So God has this aspect of valor. And some people have eternal relationships with Krishna in valor. He may be the friend who particularly relishes the valor of his friend, which inspires his friendship. Bhishma Dev is, I think, Sankula Ras. Perhaps it's mixed with friend and parental, or parental and servant. He knows him as God. He knows him as in relation. His grandfather. So he was relishing that valor. I know, you know, growing up, I was a great sports fan. So you really can develop a type of love for a person's valor. I remember me and my brother, we were really into Muhammad Ali. Before that, he was Cassius Clay. And I remember I was in my room and we were listening to the fight. And now you're going to see my chivalrous Ross and the appreciation that I have and the joy I have and the love I have in that relationship. But it's there in Bhishma Day. Me and my brother were listening to the fight on the radio. It wasn't on the television. And it was Muhammad Ali, I think it was Cassius Clay, I'm not sure at the time, in Lewiston, Maine, fighting Sonny Liston. And they were interviewing all the particular broadcasters. And I remember this so much. And one after another said, Sonny Liston, as soon as they shake hands, Sonny Liston in one. You know, one after another. One after another, and then Muhammad Ali won. This is so mundane, but I can't control myself now. And, you know, Howard Cosell. Sonny Liston is not coming out. Sonny Liston is not coming out. He's out. So there's a certain pleasure in that. A certain pleasure in valor. And a love in that way for people who are heroic and chivalrous. Man, I'll go on with all the great moments in sports now. Just to prove the point. But whatever little appreciation that we had and pleasure we had, an affection to that person. Oh, my God. I'll give one more. We were watching the championship game, and we were fans of the Knicks, me and my brother, and their star player actually broke his leg, but he came out anyway, practically with a broken leg, and he hit the first two shots, and then the team won, and you know, you can go on and on with that spirit. But what if God will allow you to have that relationship with Him? The ultimate triumph in relationship to the chivalry of God. And somehow or other, that was Bhishma Dev's relationship. And he was relishing it to the highest ecstasy. He was swimming in that. He was appreciating that. And these things are existentially real. They are only reflected here. Transcendental relation with the Lord in any one of the different rasas is relishable by the respective devotees to the highest ecstasy. Bhishma is the example of prema. Relishing the prema through the indirect relationship of chivalry. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsels of Raja Dham for ego. I am the best devotee. Or because you're attracted to sex life, not you're attracted to service. Everything has to be built on the foundation of service. Otherwise, you won't see what is actually going on, which is that spirit of selflessness and love and service. Such a cheap relation with the Lord exhibits only the base mentality of the mundaner, because one who has relished conjugal union with the Lord cannot be attached to the worldly conjugal ras which is condemned even by mundane ethics. Cheap relationship, not substantial relationship. Cheap relationship is, I will purchase it simply by my mind. Substantial relationship is, I will purchase it by my heart. And purchasing it by the heart is a greater price because it entails giving up the ego. And that is a lot of work because we come to this world, specifically we get the body for karma, which means what? I want to be the center and I want to get things so that I can keep in the center, I can move towards the center. That's the predominant consciousness. And to give that up, it's so hard. Just think of arguing with someone where they feel they made a good point and they defeated you. Why do we fight like hell? Why do we feel bad? Because that accedes power to the person. We can't lose power because power enables us to control and enjoy on the material platform. We are still so much affected by these things. The eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord is evolved. A genuine relationship of a living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. The mother loves the child is in deep romance, the romance is technically more intense, the mother never wants to become the lover. Doesn't the genuine devotee is happy to serve God according to his relationship, and it is the highest. Bhishma Dev is a careful example of this, and it should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related to the Lord. Charge. I think I have a little chivalrous rasa. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Yes.
This is Himanshu. There's about seven of us here in the room, and if you have questions. I have one.
Okay, what's the question?
Jai and I both have questions. I'll let him go first.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Jai. Hi, bro. What's the question?
I know a lot of your class dealt with this, but maybe for just some further explanation, I wanted to know why Krishna's coming by his own internal energy and not by the force of nature. It's supposed to be such a compelling point that inspires us to worship him. We were studying Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, and he also makes the same point there. And he gives a lot of emphasis to this. I'm coming by my own energy and not by the laws of nature. So that may be case, and okay, so that makes you God. But why would that be a compelling factor for me worshiping you? Because there are others in this world who are coming by the laws of nature, and I feel like worshiping them also. So I was kind of wanting to know why that's supposed to be such a compelling point to inspire us to worship Krishna.
Well, let's say just this one reason is worship, you know, let's just take it from the platform of Aishwarya, right, in terms of worship, okay? First, we'll take it from the platform of Aishwarya. Greatness. Greatness inspires worship, right? And, I mean, I traveled in India, I saw the Himalayas. It made me feel humble. It inspired worship. Love entails somehow or other some appreciation that makes you give yourself to the control or to the service of the desire of your beloved. So there's some type of sense of greatness. even in Madhurya Ras, there's some sense of that, that this is God. This is, so I think if you are forced or controlled rather than do things by your volition, it's a much more exalted position. If let's say you see two people in a prison house, right? And one is coming in because he wants to, and another person is coming in because he's incarcerated, then the person who comes in by his volition obviously is more respectable than, at least that's one aspect of it, he's more respectable. And if God is just under the law of karma, then how is he great? Now, it's a fact that other people are worshipable or attractive in one sense, let's say in terms of a devotee, but how does he become attractive? He becomes attractive to the extent that he is free from the modes of material nature. And a material person may have some power, some money, some beauty, some fame, etc. So again, it's the same point, by aishwarya or power. But this is power also, that I am not controlled by the modes of material nature. I am the controller. Why does a king have attractive? And why does a king have accoutrements of power? It's the duty of a king to demonstrate accoutrements of power. Why is it the duty of a king to demonstrate the accoutrements of power? Because it inspires service. And to rule the citizens effectively, it's not just his power, but it's the inspiration of the service, the citizens also. So either way, it's an indication of worthiness that inspires service. Otherwise, what will you serve? What will you serve? You'll serve something that demonstrates that it's great. Either Madhurya, great because of love, or great because of power. Anything else on that, Jagannath, to make it more clear?
No, is it Arya? Yeah. That's really good, Maharaj. Thank you very much. Super.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, Himanshu?
Yes, Maharaj. My question has to do with the verse of Nectar of Instruction that you quoted. We've heard it many times, and devotees often discuss this verse. Here's my question, really.
Speak slower.
Yes, sorry, Maharaj. So my question is on the verse of Upadesha Amrita that you quoted, on how the essence of all advice is to meditate on Krishna's holy name, his devotees, a devotee. What I'd like to know is, in the process of Raghunuga Bhakti, when one hears Krishna Leela, say, for instance, you hear about Madhu Mangal cracking jokes with Krishna, and you see, wow, he's pleasing Krishna so much by this service, and then one develops an aspiration, say, for that particular type of, you know, Sakya humor, then does he for himself create the service that
you have to speak. You have to speak slower, because also you're on a speakerphone, so it's not very clear.
I apologize. I will slow down. So, supposing when one hears Krishna Leela and hears about Madhu Mangal's relationship with Krishna, how Madhu Mangal is serving Krishna through his jokes, his activities, and one thinks in his heart, oh, if only I could serve Krishna in the same way, then according to the philosophy, he would envision himself as a servant of Madhu Mangal, say, for instance. Now, such a person, when he's chanting japa or when he's performing his daily activities like cooking for the deities or doing book distribution or whatever, teaching others or being a guru, then would this person then create in his mind how those actions in an internal way are connected to his relationship with Madhu Mangal, or is that given to him? My question is, are those meditations, like how one sees himself serving Madhu Mangal and aspiring for that relationship, Are they, you create those in your mind, like, okay, maybe I'm bringing laddus from Madhu Mangala, maybe I'm the one packing Krishna's lunch, or are those given to you by a Raghunuga Bhakta, you know, someone who's more advanced in the same relationship? You know what I'm asking?
Well, I'm not sure, but the first point is, if you're talking about the inspiration for an eternal relationship with Krishna, Vishwanath Thakur describes that there's three ways to do it. One is from guru, one is from sadhu, and one is from the super soul. And in most traditions, in most Vaishnav traditions, whether it's Nimbar, Vallabha, or the teachings of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Prabhupada, it comes as a revelation mostly from our spiritual practices. And then from our spiritual practices, it will become real. And we'll have a desire to serve. And then it says, Seva Sadaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena Chatrihi, that there may be some type of internal mood, and that's, we have Siddha Dehi, we have a mentally conceived form in relationship to Krishna. And then Sadaka Rupena. And then there's also a form of a sadhaka, a person who's practicing. And we serve them. And by serving them, somehow their mood comes to us. And serving them may not be, technically speaking, you know, in the mood of a coward boy. For example, in terms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, part of it, you may be serving his mission and invoking the mercy. But internally, it's completely connected, because these things are not just forms. They're bhavas in consciousness. So it just doesn't manifest in things. You know, I'm a servant of Madhu Mangala and I just eat sweets. But no, I'm a servant of Madhu Mangala and I deeply, deeply, deeply want to serve Krishna. And that depth of service, one will see in many, many aspects. You know, you may have that service, maybe even preaching in the mood of a friend. You know, I really want to do this for Krishna because, you know, I want to be his friend. You know, and you'll serve those externally and you'll follow those, like Rupa Goswami. People who want to be in the mood of the gopis, and there's maybe an internal form of Rupa Goswami that they follow mentally, and there's flower garlands and there's so many things. And then externally they'll follow him. And he was preaching Krishna consciousness and he was doing certain things and spreading. And, you know, in terms of the six Goswamis, they were working out. Vrindavan was a jungle. How did they get all their books and libraries? They had to supervise the clearing of jungles and, you know, the building of temples. So, you know, service, it's a mood. It's a mood. And it may take a specific form, but it's a mood. And actually, I can't remember where I saw that verse, where there's a verse someplace where it says, what is it? You know, the more important than the thoughts of Krishna are the feelings for Krishna in your spiritual practice. More important than the thoughts of Krishna are the feelings of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Himanshu, does that help?
Yes, Maharaj. Can I just ask a quick clarification?
Yeah, let's go further, yeah.
Then thank you for this very beautiful answer. So then the service that you perform with your external body, your sadhaka deha, like you mentioned things like, you know, preaching or building temples like the Goswamis, that all of that can be dictated by perhaps your spiritual master or the association of devotees you're in. But the service that you perform in the internal realm, like say as a servant of Madhu Mangala, all that you're saying would the inspiration for that would be coming from Super Soul. Like you would get guidance from within. What those services are. You don't mentally create, like, okay, maybe I'm doing this or maybe I'm doing that.
I'm saying that there's different ways in which it will develop.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly, it comes internally. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam. It comes internally from our practice, you know, from our practice of Krishna consciousness and from the mercy of Guru and from our surrender, etc. Something manifests internally. And of course, you know, if one is actually advanced, the six Goswamis wrote so many books which can guide that meditation, where it describes the subtleties. If there's actually a visual that one has, you know, that visual can be enhanced. For example, there are books like Ujjvala Nilamani, where it really describes in what that world is like, Govinda Lilamrita, what that world is like, and what the subtleties of that world is, so that the vision you have and the vision you meditate is also not just an imagination, but it's also couched within the parameters of Shastra, you know, of what that is. But ultimately, the ultimate focus of it will come when the love and devotion is manifest in one's heart. The reality of it will hit you more and more and more. And the vision you have just may be a mechanism or a lens by which you can meditate and understand these things deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I would say it would be more and more like a focus. You know, initially it may not be focused, you know, but it will become more and more focused, you know. And that will be inspired deeply by the heart.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. When we spend more time, we can discuss these things more. Okay. Good. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that you're on. Anybody else like to ask a question? Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Malati.
Malati. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Really well, actually. Really well.
Okay. Our Sangha mother, our Sangha member, Malati, just became a mother. It's almost a tongue twister. Sangha member, mother Malati. She became a mother. Congratulations. And we'll offer our blessings. Okay. Good. I'm so delighted that still you can hear and that your child has given you some mercy, enabling you to do it.
Yes, that's she's great. Been very merciful. She's very merciful.
Okay, good. Thank you, Malati. Good. Anybody else like to come on?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hari Bol. Hi. Wow. Good. Thank you. Anybody else? Hari Bol, Chaitanya Priya.
Hari Krishna Maharaj.
Hari Bol, Chaitanya Priya. Hari Krishna.
Hari
good.
Krishna.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I heard Henry. Thank you. And who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Brajaradhe.
Brajaradhe. Thank you. Good. We have our core foundational members. Anybody else? Okay. We'll end now. I'm going to give class in the Bhakti Center now. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.